This is episode 100.
And what fascinates you about Solution Focus?
That it's fun.
Yay!
So, Bibi, what's your favorite solution-focused question?
What's your highlight? That is simply focused with every journey and then be good at for life and joy and ease.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godad.
Hello and welcome to episode number 100 of the Simply Focus podcast.
It's time to celebrate.
Yeah, woo! Let's do that.
So, Dominic, we really love to celebrate, don't we?
We do love to celebrate, and we also love to make visible what is there and what really works well.
And we also love to be in contact with other people.
And this is why we set out to ask you what you would like to ask us in this podcast. And we have a long list with questions from all over the world that we would love to explore today and see what emerges.
So first of all, a big and huge thank you to each and every one of you who replied, and also for all the amazing questions you sent us. We are really curious what answers will come up today, and I'm really, really looking forward to explore that with you today, Dominic.
And let's start with the most surprising question from Tara Gretton. My questions to you do both for your 100th podcast is, what fascinates you about Solution Focus?
Thank you, Tara. It's a surprising question, and I'm really curious what will come up today when answering it.
For me right now, it's for sure the co-construction that we deliberately do with Solution Focus. Solution Focus is not just a tool of questions. It's really a deliberate co-construction with our clients. And I'm so fascinated by observing that, and with that also optimizing my or our practice.
So that's for sure one of the things that fascinates me too a lot. And also, I think looking at my whole solution-focused journey, if there is one theme, it would be staying curious and becoming curious again and again. So I think one of the things that really, really fascinates me about solution-focus is not so much a certain specific thing, but that it has so many facets, that there are so many ways of looking at solution-focus, that there are so many different angles to it in all this simpleness. I will never, ever get bored with solution focus, and that fascinates me.
And we always say today or now is the time we learn the most, and it really is like that.
I think that ties in very well with Jessica Hawkins' question. She writes, wow, huge congrats, you two. Other than everything already mentioned, maybe a taste of your own medicine. After exploring what fascinates all of these incredible practitioners over the course of 99 episodes, what fascinates you about SF even more now than when you first set out on this amazing mission?
Wow, that's a very great question, because there are so many things that have changed, and change is happening all the time. So it's interesting to explore together what changed over the course of our journey with our fascination. And for me, it's for sure the diversity of the people that we saw and met, and how they do solution focus in their way, in their style, how they are experts for their lives and for their coaching or therapy or whatever they do with it. And really, I think I became much more humble, and so many more possibilities are visible when you see and enjoy the diversity of solution focus that is out there.
I think that's one of the things for me too. It's seeing how many brilliant practitioners are out there making a difference for the people they work with and doing it so passionately and beautifully, each and everyone in his or her unique way. And I think another thing that really changed for me, and I would say for us, is that we talk about interactions much more.
Yeah.
So seeing interactions and training to see interactions and challenging each other to look at interactions, particularly also in our family life, in our everyday life, is really exciting.
Mm. And it ties in well with the question of Anna Gray. She asks, from all the people you have met and interviewed over all podcasts, which ones have had the most profound impact on your SF practice?
Wow, what would you say, Dominic?
Well, I think what we saw is that everybody has something valuable to say. And we learned from every one of our podcast interviews. And I think what has had a profound impact is really seeing all those differences and also seeing kind of the cultural differences in different places. So for example, in North America, they ask themselves different questions. They talk differently about solution focus. In Europe, there are many people in the organizational world, for example, they talk differently about solution focus than therapists in North America or wherever. And for us, it's really, I think it's not one person, but it's the sum of all the stories we heard that really, yeah, gave us a very good overview over what is going on in the solution focus world.
And I think the most profound impact to our practice emerges through the relationships we could build thanks to our podcast. And it's not only with the people we have on our podcast already, but it's also with the people who listen to the podcast and reach out to us. And we had so many beautiful encounters with different people that told us about the differences this podcast made for them, and really seeing how new relationships with people became possible.
And usually when we spend time with people and recorded podcasts and maybe stayed with them for a while, we left, and while driving to the next place, especially in North America, driving for hours, we had a lot of time to talk about what we heard, to talk about what the other person said, and really, yeah, seeing how this might make a difference for our practice. So I would say the most profound impact on our lives, on our solution-focused practice, in my view, had Elfie.
And in my view, had Dominic.
And our conversations we had in the RV while driving.
So to stay in Australia, Michelle Orr asks, what difference has SF made to your lives?
Oh.
What differences doesn't it make?
I think there's so many aspects where we see solution focus in our lives. When we look at what works, when we look at how we encounter things that we might not want and how we talk about a preferred future first, how we look at what is happening in an interactional view. And there's so many things that, yeah, are difficult to mention because they're just there in our everyday life.
I think it's a lot about how we approach our everyday life. It's, well, when we start in the morning with a family council together with Bibi and sit down, we call it family council. In organizations, you might call it meeting. And we sit together and talk about our preferred future for the day, talk about what's important for us today. Or when we start a project or something, that we first talk about our preferred future and then look consequently on what works. There's so many choices we make every day that are influenced by how we see solution focus at the moment.
And there's also sometimes this idea that you can or cannot be solution focused your whole life or the whole day. And also what we realize more and more, that change is happening all the time. And with that, it is really interesting for us to see how we refocus when maybe things are bad, or when we complain, or when we get up and don't feel well. And this refocusing became more and more interesting for us, and their solution focus is the way to do it for us.
And also sometimes it's that we simply cannot stop talking about it.
So we have a beautiful question from Anne-Marie Wolf. Firstly, congratulations with your achievement. I'm a huge fan of you. We are a huge fan of you too, Anne-Marie. And a podcast. I'd like to ask something like, what needs to happen in episode 100 that will tell you, standing at episode 300 and looking back, wow, that episode 100 was really unique and significant. And suppose your podcast each was a chapter in a book, what would be the title of the book?
Well, how would we notice that episode 100 was really unique and significant? I think its uniqueness it has, as we invited you to share your questions, and we noticed that it's really exciting for us and significant for us to receive your questions, to answer them, and to have you here with us in our living room where we are currently recording the podcast.
And I think that's what our whole journey and also the podcast is about. And we're so happy that you join our podcast, that you're part of that, and that you have been there from the beginning and also are on this solution-focused journey with everyone that is here and listening and everyone out there who is practicing solution focus. And the unique thing for us is really, yeah, to be together on this journey with everyone out there.
Yeah, and unique and significant. I think it's also if we get new ideas, if we get new inspirations, and well, even with the first few questions we answered, I see this happening already. And what would be the book title? Maybe a compilation of the Simply Focus podcast?
Or solution focus in all its diverse ways.
Or maybe a book title that's just recently given, so it cannot be our book title anymore, but we're looking forward to this book, Solution Focus Around the World.
Or another book that's just coming out that we did with the Austrian Solution Circle, Fascination Solution Focus. And I think when we think more about that, there are so many possible titles that could come out of that.
So thank you very much, Anne-Marie. And as Dominic said, we are big fans of yours as well.
So let's go to Veronika Jackel. What are your favorite questions you love to ask in coaching?
This is a very, very interesting question because I think that really ties in with what I mentioned earlier about what fascinates me about solution focus and what I mentioned about the interactional view. So for me, I cannot say what my favorite question is, but I can say that I love to build a dialogue together with the person I'm talking to in a coaching setting, the coach, and building the question based on what this person is saying.
And there's another aspect to that. I think the most favorite questions we love to ask are the ones where we get answers that are within this answering spectrum that we ask. So when we talk about preferred future, for example, and the client tells us about their preferred future, and when we talk about what works and we hear what is working well in the life of the client. So the question is not one single question, but it's more like how well does the question fit to the answer and the answering spectrum we intend with our question. And this has been really a fascinating journey for us to look at questions like that and not anymore from kind of what is the best word to use or what is the best question overall, but more to place it in a dialogue, look at what questions the practitioner asked and look at the answer and then also looking at what parts of the answer is in the answering spectrum of the question and how could we maybe respond when parts of the answers are outside this spectrum, what possibilities or opportunities do we have to respond to really have a dialogue that focuses on preferred future, on what is working well and also on signs of progress.
And I think to stay in the answering spectrum, another possible answer comes to my mind, and this is actually, I love to ask questions that bring up different ideas for the coachee. My favorite questions are those who make a difference for my coachee.
And what we've been playing around lately is asking questions with an interactional focus. So really looking at the differences in the interactions of the person's life. So less focusing on external factors that have to be there or on the situation itself, but much more on the difference. How might you notice in your interactions? What might you say differently? How might the other person respond? And really making this interaction in the future visible.
I have a question from John Wheeler now. Thank you, John. Excellent idea, Dominic and Elfie. I would like to know how your knowledge of SF practice is different after the 99 interviews. What you know now that you maybe didn't know before? What did you already know before and now you know it even more clearly? Best wishes, John.
I think everything we knew before we started or when we started, we also know now. And I think the difference is that we've been immersing ourselves in solution focus with all those people that we met, that things became much clearer and our focus on where we want to focus in our conversation changed over time. And I think it will change also in the future. It's just interesting to see how we, for example, look at questions we asked 5 years ago or 3 years ago, and we look at them and say, oh, okay, that's interesting that we asked this question back then and thought this is the best question ever. And now we realize when we ask questions now that there are different things that have changed for us over the course of our journey or the last few years. And for sure, one part is the interactional part, the interactional view, also focusing much more on interactions in our questions, for example, and also looking at our conversation really on videotape, micro-analyzing them, and really looking at what is happening when I ask a question, how does a client respond, how do I respond, and so on. And with that, it also becomes clear that when people say, well, this is the way to do solution focus, or this is the best question, or you have to start like that, or you have to do this, that we now can go and look at the video and see, oh, that's interesting. If you do that, then this happens, and when you do that, then this happens. And it goes away from this best way to do it to this curiosity that Elfie mentioned. So I think this is something I now know much more of.
Maybe one of the things for me that I maybe knew before, but now I know it more clearly or differently, is also what we touched on earlier already, how many different ways there are of approaching solution focus. There are people approaching it from a spiritual perspective. There are people approaching it from an interactional perspective. There are people approaching it from a question-based perspective. And I think each and every perspective has its value. Value and is incredibly important because each and every person reaches different people, and with that makes solution focus accessible for someone for whom it was not accessible without this encounter.
And that's one story we heard over and over again, that a person started learning solution focus with someone and thought this is the way to do it and just the only way to do it. And then they started reading or going to conferences or going to other trainings. And the more they immerse themselves in solution focus, the more possibilities they saw. That's something very encouraging for us to see, that people really find their way in our solution focus community.
And one other thing content-wise that I kind of knew about and what we really discussed a lot along our journey is partnering with your client. And this is a lot influenced by Scott Miller's and Barry Duncan's work, by conversations we had with Frank Thomas, by conversations we had with John Murphy, and of course our conversations, Kirsten Dierolf. So there are many, many people who really inspire us to think about that even more, and then also to look what is it that we want to embrace and how.
So let's go to Beverly Court's question. What surprised you the most during your 100 podcast journey?
Maybe that we are still so excited to do it.
And that the RV is still running.
And that we still have a roof on the RV.
That's a story you might remember when you listened to the first episodes of the podcast. We had a leak before we went to the US, and we're very happy that we still have a roof and it's still dry inside. And one thing that surprised me very much was how we were welcomed. Well, wherever we went, we had stories like, for example, with Monica Rotner when we met her. And she said, well, okay, on Monday, and it was, I think it was Saturday or even Sunday, on Monday I have a meeting with my team. Come and work with me. And we just had this wonderful two-hour workshop with the team. And we had so many encounters like that where our perspective was welcome, our way to look at solution focus was welcome, and really... Yes, spending time with each other was welcomed, and people wanted to be with us and wanted to spend time with us, and we wanted to spend time with them. And through that, really touching heart connections emerged. And I think that's, when I look back, I think one of the most surprising things, and also one of the things that I'm most grateful for, that all those relationships became possible.
Yes, and I think one of the things that also surprises me, and maybe you too, is the reactions of the community and the excitement that you all really value what we are doing here, and also the perspectives we bring through interviewing all these different wonderful people around the world. So I'm really surprised, isn't kind of the right word. I'm really profoundly touched and inspired by the reactions of all the solution-focused practitioners all over the globe.
When we record a podcast episode, we always kind of think of, oh, who could that be interesting for? And it's always a surprise who responds and in what way. We have podcasts, kind of those microanalysis nerdy podcasts, for example, where we thought, oh, this is difficult. People might have troubles and might not see the value for them. And then we had reactions from people who just started with solution focus and told us how important that was. Or we had interviews with people who just started doing solution focus, and we thought, well, this is probably interesting for someone who also just starts, but not for seasoned practitioners. And then we got reactions from seasoned practitioners, how this was inspiring for them. And yeah, it's always surprising and also joyful to read your comments on our podcast episode, and also to see for whom which episode and what topic is interesting and valuable.
So let's come to Paut Kromkamp's question. The SF community is forever in your debt for this amazing series. What I'd love to hear you talk about is the making of kind of stuff. Things you had to overcome, hilarious moments, moving moments, mishaps that you dealt with, that kind of thing. Have fun putting number 100 together.
Yeah, there's quite some things in the background that were on the one hand interesting to learn, and on the other hand sometimes funny and sometimes very annoying. We had, for example, this one wonderful episode with Gail Miller, and when we wanted to save the podcast, it told us that there's not enough storage, so it only saved parts of the conversation. And since we couldn't go back and record it again, we kind of had to improvise.
I think this was one of the most painful moments in our podcast experience, because he was talking about very exciting things and the part we missed.
And we also had some very funny moments, for example, with Brenda Salter-Minden.
Yeah, with Brenda, we spent this beautiful time on Lovesick Lake on Honeymoon Island, sitting in a treetop house when we recorded the podcast. And we also recorded some podcasts sitting in the RV, sitting in the office somewhere. So we had quite stunning places, beautiful places, ugly places where we recorded the podcasts. One time when I had the conversation with Monica Rotner, we were standing somewhere with the RV and we were on Zoom together, and it was this ugly parking, do you remember?
Yeah.
And Bibi and you went out and there was this gas station, but it was really not very beautiful there.
And we hardly had internet connection there. And the only thing I could get for or with Bibi was some ugly sweet stuff. And we even spilled our whole drink on the floor.
Yeah, so a broad variety of locations we met. And also a lot of very moving moments in our conversations. I will never ever forget when John Murphy played the songs for us, or also with Bill O'Hanlon when he played on his guitar and we were dancing, and just not only having these conversations, but also inviting other ways of communicating with each other into the podcast.
And sometimes it was very strange. When we came, things happened. We remember, for example, when we came to Haesan Moon's place, that on the other side of the street, someone died after we just came. And there were some very hilarious moments, for example, when Bob Faw talked about humanity. And Elfie referred to spiders.
Well, this was kind of embarrassing, but really funny. And we were thinking quite some time if we should put it into the podcast or not, but then decided not to do it. But he was, yeah, as Dominic said, talking about humanity, and I was then talking about how I don't like to kill spiders or mosquitoes.
And his response was great. He paused for a moment, opened his eyes wide, and then said, yes, and I wouldn't have taken it that far. So we might make a podcast episode with all the funny things that happened during the making of the podcast. And some podcasts at the end, after the jingle, you find some funny moments.
And there were also a lot of very moving moments. I remember when Haesan shared her story about how she had a conversation with someone who decided to die, and her way of sharing the story and also her thoughts around that, and also to the actions this moment led in her life, was really, really moving. Or talking with Brigitte Lavoie on our latest podcast, I had tears in my eyes when she shared this story, how she conversed with her daughter when it came to washing her hands. And there were many, many more. So let's come to Naomi Whitehead's question. Woohoo! So excited. What a significant milestone for such an incredible and valuable solution-focused resource that you bring into the solution-focused and wider world. I would like to know from each of you, what do you say to yourselves in any rare moments you have when you're feeling really scared or panicking or overwhelmed, or that you have done something wrong, what do you each say to yourself that enables you to get to the other side of those moments in ways that you're happy with?
On our RV, we have this saying that friend power is stronger than willpower. And this we realized over and over again, especially in moments when we were scared, in moments when we thought our journey is over, in moments where our preferred future seemed to collapse and we couldn't sleep, that asking solution-focused questions and kind of wanting to change the focus can work perfectly well, and that sometimes there is someone else who has to ask these questions. So really, a friend, coach, therapist, someone who can deliberately focus on the preferred future, on what works, on signs of progress. And this has really made a huge difference for us to see that we're on this journey together, and then also asking us these questions.
Your question, Naomi, brings a memory into my mind when we were traveling up to Arkansas and we were parking on this Walmart parking going to bed. So we were parking on this Walmart parking and it was very well protected with police and security guards.
We even asked them if we can stay there and stay overnight.
And when it came to go to bed, I just couldn't close my eyes and I had this feeling of being really, really, really scared. I don't know this feeling very well because I fortunately don't have to experience this as often. So I was really scared. And in the middle of the night, the one thing I said was, "Dominic, get up, let's go." And we got up and we went. I think for me, in these moments when I'm scared or maybe overwhelmed, to really pause and to check in with the important people around me, which usually is Dominic and Bibi, and to create a dialogue around that that helps us to take a decision to move on.
And we always had one rule, that if it's not okay for someone, we do something different.
Yeah, this also was in a moment when we were with Monica Rotner in Boulder, and this was in the first half of our journey before we went to Canada. We initially thought of going to Mexico, and when we were in Boulder, we had to take kind of the decision where to go next, because we could either go further west and then south, or we could go up north and then to the border of Canada. And Dominic said, "You know, I think we shouldn't go to Mexico." And I was like, "Oh yeah, let's go to Mexico, tralala." Really excited about that. But then, yeah, we paused again and we had this conversation. And in the conversation, we noticed that we both feel better going to Canada. And I think having these dialogues together in a way that opens possibilities, so not talking about the bad feeling in detail and where it might come from and all these things you might know, but rather talking about a preferred future and talking about how we notice that we feel safe and looking on the possibilities we have.
And there it really became clear while talking about our preferred future that we want to attend the SFPTA conference in Boulder, and that with our visa we could only stay for 6 months in the US and then 6 months in Canada, that it might be clever to go up to Canada, spend half a year there, and then come back for half a year and go to the conference. So this only became clear when we talked about our preferred future and, yeah, how we want to move on from there. And there was also this very scary and very hilarious moment in Houston. We thought that might be a good idea to try out something new. And in the US, you have these huge RV dealers and they have spots for RVs, mainly for the RVs that they are fixing. So when they need to fix them for a few days, the people come and then they can stay there overnight. So we thought, okay, let's look and see if they have a spot free. The office was closed, so we just took one spot. We didn't even know that was okay. We just said, okay, we'll try it out and stay here. And then we went to bed.
And then it was midnight.
And suddenly we heard this loud song.
Ghost riders in the sky.
Yippee-yay, yippee-yay.
I thought I'd die. I thought the drug dealers are here and they will kill us now. Or I was really scared.
And I had this wonderful idea to go outside and see what's happening.
So I was hiding under my blanket and just thought, you know, there's this fight and flight modus. But I was neither in the fight nor in the flight modus. I was just in the
hide modus.
In the hide modus, yeah.
So I thought, well, let's open the door and see what's happening. But I didn't, of course, didn't know that Elfie had this idea of a gang attacking us. So I opened the door and I couldn't see any loudspeakers. So the music must have come either from God or from somewhere in heaven or wherever. So I thought, this is odd. So let's close the door again and go to bed again. So in the exact moment when I closed the door, the song was over.
Well, for me, it wasn't as funny as for Dominic. So we stayed there and I finally could fall asleep, which was really good. But I was happy when we left early in the morning the next day.
Yeah, we got up and left really, really fast. So let's come to Miklos Skilacci's question. He writes, well, I'm curious how SF is supporting your everyday life. I think we talked a little bit about that in this curious mode of operation or mode of living on the road. And second, especially in these very volatile and insecure times.
So for us, exactly in those situations that are not clear, but rather volatile, insecure, solution focus is the perfect approach.
We had this on the road quite often because we moved from one place to the other and there were different circumstances. We didn't know where we'll sleep tonight. So even on the road, everything was volatile and insecure and we didn't know what to do next. So we constantly talked about our preferred future, talked about our signs of progress, how we might notice that we're one step closer to that, sometimes about one small next step to do, and then looked at what is happening. And one of the assumptions is that change is happening all the time. And we can see that now very clearly, especially in these times that we have or have been having now lately, that everybody has had this experience now of that everyday life is different, that everyday things are massively changing. And I think there is no better approach than solution focus. It really builds on this main base.
I also think that our journey was the perfect preparation for that because we could observe the change on a daily basis. As we had a very high traveling pace, we were on different places almost every day or every week at least. And we had to find the grocery store. We had to find a place where we can get water. We had to find a place where we can empty our toilet. So we had to use a lot of time to organize the daily things you don't need to organize when you're living somewhere. And yet, even here, now living in Switzerland, in our apartment, things change on a daily basis. And looking at this change, embracing this change, and amplify all these moments that show us that we're heading in a direction of our preferred future, or amplifying those moments where things are better, or amplifying these moments where things work, where we discover signs of progress. This is something that proves very useful to us in our everyday interactions, in our work with clients, in our trainings, and everywhere.
And that ties in well to Julia Kallenberg's question. She writes, congrats to your wonderful podcast, giving so many interesting people a chance to contribute. Tribute. My question, what are your favorite tools to live SF in your own daily life? And this has been changing over and over again. I remember, for example, we met Pam King and Elfie and Bibi came up with the Lego game where everybody gets 3 to 5 Lego pieces. And then the first person answers what was a highlight of the day, for example, what worked well today, and puts a Lego piece on the bed. And then Elfie answers with what worked well for her and then goes on until all the Lego pieces are on each other like a Lego tower. And then you can go on and get them back again until you all have the separate pieces again. So this was a very fun game that BB really liked to play.
Yeah, and there are many other interventions, particularly playful interventions we love to experiment with, to try out and play around with. One of the things that's very useful for us is, for instance, the list of progress. So what we do there is that we think of a specific number, a number between 30 and 50 or 70. And so today it's 40. And then for everything we do, for every tiny little thing, writing an email, getting up and drink something, starting to work on this document, you get a check mark. And the idea is to come to 40 check marks.
One thing we realized lately with Bibiana, that writing a preferred future on a flip chart works well. We have a flip chart in our living room right now where the headline is "A Great Day," and together we collected how we might notice that we have a great day. And it's amazing to see how many great ideas we all come up with.
And it particularly works well because one of us writes and Bibi is then painting the clouds around it, so is doing the pretty stuff on the flip chart.
And she loved to color all the things that we've already done. So now it's a really colorful flip chart that we have in the living room.
There's one thing that Brenda Salter-Minden inspired me to do, and this is when I go to bed with Bibi, I take her five fingers, and for every finger, I give her a certain message. For instance, with the little finger, I tell her what I'm grateful for that she did today. With the next finger, I tell her what inspired me today that she did. With the next finger, I tell her that I'm really impressed what she did today, with a very concrete example again. So for each and every finger, I share something that I noticed about her that either inspired me, made me grateful, impressed me, made me proud, worked well. And with the last finger, I usually just tell her, and with this finger, I just want to share with you how much I love you. And we really love to do that together. So, I love this question from Mark Mitchell. He says, "All these other questions are a bunch of crap. I want to know one thing. How do you both look so good and charming? Lol."
Thank you, Mark. We love you too. And of course, there are several secrets to that. I think one of the reasons during the corona time was to buy a shaver and to really cut my hair more often. There is this very strong correlation between the length of my hair and my mood. So the shorter the hair are, the better is my mood.
I think another possible explanation is that we are constantly surrounded, talking about a friend, power, by wonderful, inspiring people. And this helps us to look good and charming. And also, Mark, you remember Donna and you invited us to go to the fitness club together, so that might have helped a lot too.
This also reminds me of Jonathan Sherman, and we had such a great time with him, and you might remember him from podcast number 5, the first interview we did on our Simply Focused podcast journey. And we not only had a great time and produced our first interview podcast, but ever since he's commenting on many, many of our posts and always is referring to this wonderful, charming guest at episode number 5. And we always have to laugh so much because we got to know Jonathan and really got to love him and his family.
This was actually a very profound moment on our journey. So Kirsten Dierolf connected us with Jonathan Sherman, and we sent him a message that we will come to Utah and if he wants to meet with us. And he not only replied instantly, but he replied with, "You're living in an RV, we have a shower, we have food, we have everything you need. You can get water, you can empty your toilet." So it was like this amazing response of someone we didn't know at all before, who invited us into his home and who really shared his food, who shared his shower, his family with us.
And it was really a moment of arriving and feeling welcome where we are. So thank you again, Jonathan, and all the people who invited us to their homes and shared their families, their lives with us. And that connects well to Andy Balmo's question. He asks, "Number 100, I'm more than impressed because this work and knowledge is so important for the SF community and myself. Please go on." Yes, we will go on. "Great. Congratulations to you, Dominic, Elfie, and Bibi. My question, which position, which content, which guest in all the 99 podcasts had inspired and surprised you so much that you have integrated this into your SF life and thus makes a noticeable positive difference for you and the world?" As we mentioned before, there were so many heart-touching and important encounters, and it's impossible to name one. I think all the stories together, and I think I like to see life like that, that life is really a lot about how we tell the story and what stories we tell. And we would love to tell an inclusive story of all the people being important for what we do and how we do it. So I think it's not only one person or one position, one content. I think it's the multitude of all the things that we encountered and really immersing ourselves in this and staying curious, staying open to the differences that these things might make for us in our lives.
Yeah, thank you, Dominic. This is beautifully put. Well, if I have to come up with only one person, again, it would be Dominic. I interviewed him in episode number 30 of the podcast, and it's maybe not so much because of our podcast conversation, but much more because of how we engage in everyday life and the differences he makes for my thinking, the differences he makes for my doing, and, well, the differences he makes in my life. So thank you, Dominic.
Thank you. I would have mentioned Peter de Jong.
So Silvia Koreñova writes us, "I'm really happy and grateful I'd met you both. We too, Silvia. We had such a great time with you, Marek, Andrea, your kids and families in Slovakia. And we really hope to be back there one day. So your willingness to share your know-how and experiences is very inspirative. Can you name the first feeling that appeared with episode number 100? I think for me it's excitement.
Yeah, and joy and gratefulness.
So Kati Hankowski writes us, and she wants to know some numbers. So Kati writes, "Congratulations. Do you know how many listeners you might have per episode estimated? That's Dominic's area."
And that's a very difficult question, because if you immerse yourself in podcast statistics, you realize that it's not that easy to measure. We have a very simple measuring tool that tells us that we have between 200 and around 1600 people per podcast. And overall, we had around 13,000 unique listeners. So that's 13,000 people who listen to one or more episodes.
When do you start a crowdfunding for balance at least a little bit the investment you do?
That's a very interesting question. We've been on the road for 2.5 years and now here at home, and it takes us about 6 to 8 hours per episode. So that's about 800 hours just for making and producing the podcast. And for us, it should always be a free resource. If you want to support us financially, then you can go to our website, www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast. And then there you find a donation button or donation field.
And we are really grateful to all the people who already donated and help us create this resource and also help us to, from time to time, invite someone to help us editing the podcast. So a big, big thank you. What's on the list of the 100 things you learned thanks to your idea to do this?
Podcast editing.
Being really joyful about co-creating resources like a podcast or videos, and knowing that we can do that and that it sounds more than it is if you make the way a joyful one.
And also starting with one question that is similar or the same in every podcast and then go from there. I think that's proven really valuable, not to have a script of what we want to talk about, but just to really go with what the person is saying and also focusing on areas of interest that our interviewees have and that we have.
So what was the most pleasant surprise about podcasting so far?
For me, it's that we're still going. There are many people who start podcasts, and we've started one too, and there are not many people who really continue, and I'm so proud that we managed to go on week by week and really see the differences it makes for our lives and also the differences it makes for other lives.
Every day in December, we do the advent calendar, and I love how, thanks to all the amazing challenges we have on the podcast, that it's really easy to put together the advent calendar and seeing really the amount of resources that we have thanks to these different episodes and these conversations and these brilliant minds out there.
And one of our best hopes when we started that was also that people can use these resources, and we're always very happy when we hear people telling us stories of how they use these podcasts in their courses, for example, or in their university programs, and how they give some of the podcasts to their students for preparation. And I think that's one of the things that we were hoping when we started, that this is really a resource that's valuable, not only for seasoned practitioners, but also for people who start with solution focus.
And I think a pleasant surprise also is how much fun it is to do this together with you and to do this together with other people.
And the more we hear from you what inspired you, what worked well, the more pleasant and the more joyful and fun it is.
What's your favorite story about how it came that you're doing this? Our favorite story of how it came that we are doing this. I think this story, Kati, starts at the first Soul CEE conference that you initiated and co-organized in Hungary, in Visegrad, where Dominic and I met for the first time.
On this conference was Marco Matera, and at the Soul Cabaret, he showed the people how to really hug people from heart to heart. And I wasn't there, so Elfie had to show me that. And when we hugged each other, it really became clear that there's something important going on.
And quite soon after that, we started to talk about our preferred future, and it didn't have a podcast in there yet, but it had a lot of the elements of our journey in there. And I would say the podcast is something that emerged naturally out of that.
We were chatting on Facebook and we came up with this idea to travel the world with an RV and spread love and those heart hugs all over the world.
Yeah, and when we started to do that, it was like that we asked ourselves, if people see our motorhome and then they have a website, how can we make the website accessible for them? Because we didn't only want to create a resource for people who are into solution focus, but we also wanted to attract new people to solution focus. And we thought that an RV with all the paintings is a great idea to do that. And it happened quite often that people stopped at the traffic light and honked at us or waved at us. Well, one time in Florida, I think we shared this story already, quite sometimes someone honked and said, I'm on your website. So people go to our website when they see the RV. And our question was, how can we create a solution focused resource for people to learn more about solution focus? And the thing we do and we know how to do is to have conversations. So it was quite natural to come up with the podcast where we talk with other people. Back at the beginning, as you talked about your preferred podcasting future, what was the largest number of episodes you were daring to think of? I think we never talked about that.
Well, back then we didn't have even a clue how to do podcasts, so numbers were way out of our reach and mind.
We only knew that we want to do it on a weekly basis because we had this idea if we do it only on a monthly basis that we will not be able to reach as many people as when we do it on a weekly basis.
This leads us to the last question for today from Ute Habenicht. When you three look at your SF on Tour map and dream of 99 episodes, what are you most thankful for?
I'm very thankful that we did it.
And that we could do it with all of you together, and that we were so much invited to your homes, and that you comment on our podcast, that we can really travel this journey together.
I'm also grateful for all the encounters this podcast allowed and invited. The encounters on the podcast with the people we had conversations already, the encounters with people we talked about our conversations on the podcast, the encounters we had thanks to doing this podcast, and all the beautiful relationships that emerged out of that.
Yeah, so let's come to the challenge of the week.
We would love to invite you this week to comment on our podcast and to share with us what inspired you about this episode. We would also love to challenge you or to invite you to write a review for our podcast on iTunes or Google Play, Stitcher, all the other platforms where you are listening to the podcast, because this will help other people to find the podcast even easier and faster.
So thank you very much for commenting, for writing, for reviewing, for telling us what you like, and really making a difference for us this way.
And if you share the podcast with others, please put in the hashtag SF on Tour or Simply Focus Podcast so that we can find it too.
So once again, thank you very much for being on this journey with us, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much for listening, and see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Wow, what a great episode again. This was Simply Focused Podcast with Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godad. Your podcast for a life in joy and ease.